Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Okay, guys, so if you weren't here last week, we're busy with a series called, about Do You Have an Image? And last week, we looked at your God birth image. And before I get into this evening's message, I'm just going to run through a few points from last week just to kind of give you a taster. And if you weren't here, this is just a taster. Get the resource at the resource desk. You'll be encouraged by that. So last week we looked at does the image that you have, does that reflect the image of God? Does that reflect the image that God created you in? And then we looked at Genesis chapter 1 and where God said that man was created in his image and his likeness. Okay, so that was from Genesis chapter 1 that we looked at. And what does that mean, God's image and his likeness? What does that mean? Then we looked at four aspects from, if you are created in God's image, that means that you've got four very special aspects to your image, and that is identity. First of all, you've got God's DNA in you. We sang that song earlier on. We're talking about the life of Christ in us, his breath of life in us. And God said that he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. You've got God's DNA, his identity inside of you. Then the second aspect that we looked at was authority. God has given you his authority to reign in this life, to rule in this life through Jesus Christ. Okay, that's pretty awesome. Then thirdly, we looked at the fact that you've got the blessings of God. You've got the giftings of God. You've got everything for this life. You've got everything that you need for this life to reign and to be victorious. All of the blessings is in Jesus Christ. Then the fourth aspect that we looked at was purpose. You've got a special purpose. And David Youngren on the video, he also said that there will never, ever be someone like you with a purpose that you've got. And that is pretty exciting as well, that you've got a special purpose. And that purpose is to be a blessing in your community out of an overflow of your relationship with God. That is your purpose. Okay. Then we also looked at Satan's number one strategy. He's not very creative. His number one strategy, and it doesn't change, has been to attack your God-given image, your identity. And when he attacks your image, he comes against those four aspects: identity, authority, blessings, and the gifts that you've been given, and your purpose. That is what he comes to attack. Okay, then we looked at the good news is that we've got the option to look at the image of God, the image that we were created in, and change our whole future, our whole destiny. So on that note, David talks very much about the specific topic. He goes in detail about it from the Word of God. It's powerful. I encourage you to go to the conference. I'm going to be there. So already it's going to be good. You're going to have good fun. We're going to have good laughters together. So that's going to be good. Then last week, I also, like I said, I painted this clear picture of God's image, this clear picture of his goodness, his love, his beauty, and that we were created in that exact image. And tonight is going to be awesome because we're going to look at walking in your God-birthed image. Walking in your God-birthed image. First of all, it's very much about developing your image. Who of you can remember, it was a few years ago, before the digital cameras came out, there was these camera films. I don't know if they kind of still use them in some cameras. The films, the negatives. Okay, so who of you don't remember don't know what I'm talking about? Okay, we don't have such young people in here. Okay, so when you filled up that roll with your images, with your pictures, you'd usually take that to a camera shop, and they would turn your negatives. They'd take it through a process, and they will turn your negatives into clear, visible pictures that you can actually see, the ones that you took. Okay, and just like that, we need to take this image of ours that have been distorted, that have been polluted by Satan, by the enemy, by this world. It's created this negative image, and we need to take that, put it through a process, and bring out the clear image of who we actually are in Christ's image. Okay, so this is going to be exciting. I hope you're excited with me, and we're going to look at this process. How does that look for us? And firstly, I want to look at the word imagination. The word imagination means the action of forming ideas or images or concepts of external objects not present to the senses, seeing with your mind but can't be seen with your eyes. The origin of the word is Latin, and it comes from the word image, which we looked at last week. Image, photograph, snapshot, mirror, representation, or reflection. I don't know if you knew this, but you use your imagination basically every day. You use your imagination either negatively or positively. Most of us are quite familiar with using our imaginations in a negative sense. But even this morning, one of the guests at the morning service, she said she was in this race, Monica. And when she said that, I was like immediately picturing, okay, where is this race? It's next to that one. It's down that road. So I had this mental picture. I couldn't see it. I wasn't standing in the street seeing the race, but I had this mental picture of this race, where that race is. And that's like when we're using direction, a lot of cases we're using our imagination. When we go grocery shopping and we forgot to do a list, we kind of stand there in the aisle and we open up the fridge and we look at, okay, there's milk. I don't think there's butter. There's veggies. I need to get this. So you've got this mental picture that you took, and you use your imagination to draw back those images and bring it to your remembrance. Then, like I said, most of us has used our imagination so well in the negative sense that it just comes as a second nature. Last year, my brother was in an accident, and it's an awesome testimony, a miracle actually. He was a truck driver in the States, and he crossed a railway, and the train was in his blind spot, so the train hit him. He hit his truck, and he miraculously got out of the tray or out of the truck, jumped out. It was all like scene from a movie, Mission Impossible or something. And he came out of that accident with a few scratches on his body. And when I got the phone call about this news, I was pretty calm because I've really developed my imagination to a place where I don't just let it run rampant with me and go down the rabbit trail. But at the same time, after that phone call, after I got the news, I kind of imagined what he went through. Like sitting in that truck, you go over this railway, then all of a sudden you see this huge train coming at you and you can't go anywhere. You're in this truck, it can only go that fast, but you know you're going to be hit. Boom, you get hit. And then this whole thing of like you shaking, and then this train is moving with you while you're in the truck. You have to get out of this truck, get out, jump out, while the train is probably still going 60 kilometers per hour. You hit the ground, you roll for another 30 meters before you stop. And I was like, this was a miracle. Like, this was really God's hand, and that was awesome. And to just bring the tone and the mood just a little bit up, you all might relate with me with this next example. Summer's coming up. You're swimming in the pool. You're having great fun. Your friends are with you, or your family's with you. And then they slowly, one by one, get out, and you're still chilling there, and you're having fun all by yourself. And then eventually, it's time for you to get out of the pool, and then then all of a sudden, the creepy crawly becomes alive, and you, in your imagination, this thing can't do anything to you. I don't know if you can relate to me with me, but sometimes this happens, and I'm like, okay, now I have to put Peter's faith on the line and start walking on water and get out of that pool as soon as possible. So all of you can relate to me. You know what it is like to use your imagination, to use it in a negative sense, and the effects that can have on you. And our imagination is something that is a blessing, a gift from God. And just like so many things in this life, what has been a blessing, what has been created by God to bless us and to benefit us, the world has distorted and polluted and has become something negative. Our imagination, if you look at money is an awesome tool, an awesome blessing from God. But the love of money is pure evil. If you look at sex in marriage is awesome. I'm married, so sex is awesome. All of you are here because of sex. None of you would have been here if it wasn't for sex. This isn't the relationship seminar, but so sex is also awesome within marriage, and the world has also polluted sex and made it something bad and evil. And then also leadership, another example. It's something so pure and so good. And I'm privileged to say that we've got awesome leadership in Grace Life. I'm not referring to myself. But if I just look at the leaders that I'm serving with, it's just an awesome honor to serve with them and to know that their intentions for me is to just bless me, to help me grow, to help me reach everything that I can in this life that God created me to be. So that is really awesome. And I want to really encourage you and minister to you and say that don't let your past experiences of things that God has created for good and for to be a blessing for you, don't let your past experiences rob you of that joy and of that blessing of the things that God created to be good. So change your perspective about those things and renew it to God's view of it. Last week we also said that if you want to shape our destinies, our futures are going to be shaped by our inner image, what we see, what we believe about ourselves. And that is nothing, or to a small extent, it's got something to do, obviously, about our upbringing, our family, our parents. But you still have that ability to choose to reshape that image. If it's been shaped by someone else as you grew up, like you still tonight have that opportunity, that choice to reshape your God-birthed image. And it's not something that you create out of nothing. It is truth in your spirit. When you are born-again believer, you were created in God's image. So that spiritual reality can only manifest if you believe that and if you see yourself like that. And with that note, we're going to go to Scripture. If you don't think we're going to go to Scripture tonight, here we go. Hold on. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. I'm going to read from the King James Version and as also from the ESV. It says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Then the ESV says, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Okay, first of all, the word beholding is talking about a focusing, like a laser focus. Focusing on what? Beholding as in a glass. That word glass, it means mirror or reflection. James also talks about God's word being our mirror. So beholding as in a glass. So what does it say? As in a glass, the glory of the Lord. So what do you see when you look in the mirror? Okay? You see a reflection of yourself when you look in your natural mirror. Okay? But this is saying, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. And then you are changed into that same image from glory to glory. As we focus on the glory of God, His image, because we were created in His image, as we focus on His image, His glory, we are being changed, transformed into that same image. The word transformed means metamorphosis. Metamorphosis, if you you did your biology at school, it's a transformation from a caterpillar into a butterfly. That's one example of metamorphosis. Okay, so it's something completely new, transformed into something completely new. As you focus on God's image from His word, as well as see what He says, His word says about your image. Not what the world says, not what your parents might have said about your image, but what does God say about my image? As you behold this truth, this promise of God in His word, you are transformed into that same image. And I would like to get an amen there. Okay, that was good. We'll see if that gets better. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 to 3, and then I'm going to skip to verse 10 as well. "If you then be risen with Christ," talking about being born again, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above." So it says, seek the things, those things that are above. Set your affection on things above. So this is talking about desires. Set your focus, your desires, your heart on things above, not on the things of this earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That is beautiful. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. That exact image of God, that is who you are. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 10 says, "And I've put on the new man, born again man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him." This renewing is something that doesn't just happen once off. It's a continual thing. Renewing ourselves, renewing in the knowledge. This is talking not about just the head knowledge, not just knowing Jesus loves you, but this is talking about an intimate knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. So again, yeah, renewing your knowledge, renewing your mind to what? To the image of Him that created Him. Okay, that is your image. That is your God-birthed image. Let's go to Ephesians 1, verse 17. I'm going to read up until verse 23. It says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation," again, in the knowledge of Him, knowing Him, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know," again, intimate knowing, "what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, Yeah, it's talking about the eyes of your understanding. This isn't talking about your natural eyes. This isn't talking about what you can see now presently. This is talking about the word understanding here in the Greek. It's talking about the, it says the anoia is the Greek word for that. And that means a deep thought or imagination. So yeah, let's read that verse again. The eyes of your understanding, the eyes of your imagination, the eyes of your deep thoughts being enlightened, being illuminated, being opened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling. The word hope there, it means to anticipate or expect, have an expectancy of this calling. What is this calling? That you have been created in God's image, with a purpose, with identity, with blessings and giftings. And that is awesome. Okay, then from this whole passage, I'm going to continue verse 19. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Yeah, there was so much in that passage, and I'm going to bring out a few things if you miss anything. First of all, from this whole passage, we can see this God-birthed image again that we were created in, the image that we should be reflecting. What is that? Identity. It's referring to us as the saints. That is your identity. Authority. His power towards us. He's given us that authority. The blessings and the gifts. Jesus was given to us and a purpose. We are his body. You show his fullness and minister to one another. That is awesome. Your God-birthed image can be seen throughout Scripture, time and time again. And as you behold this, as you behold God's Scripture, his word, you are going to be transformed into that same image. Okay, let's go to the Old Testament. Maybe you guys get a little bit more excited about the Old Testament. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 13 to 17, where this picture just gets illuminated as well of using the imagination. Verse 13, the king of Aram said, find Elijah, and I'll send men to catch him. The servants told the king of Aram, Elisha is in Dothan. Then the king of Aram sent horses, chariots, and a large army. Say, a large army to Dothan. They arrived at night and surrounded the city. Elisha's servant got up early that morning. When he went outside, he saw an army. Say, he saw an army with horses and chariots all around the city. The servant said to Elisha, oh, my master, what can we do? You can just imagine his face, like his expression. This seems pretty just, oh, my master, what can we do? I'm pretty sure there was like a, oh, my master, what can we do? And let's continue reading. It says, Elisha said, don't be afraid. I'm pretty sure, like I just said, he was probably out of his socks afraid. And Elijah said, don't be afraid. The army that fights for us is larger than the army that fights for Aram. Then Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I ask you, open my servant's eyes so that he can see. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and the servant saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. They were all around Elisha. So here when Elisha prayed, oh my Lord, open the eyes of my servant, you need to understand that his eyes were open. He saw the army of the king of Aram. He saw that, and he was afraid. His eyes were open. His eyes were probably as big as beach balls when he saw that army. It was probably like, and so when Elijah prayed for his eyes to be open, he was not referring to his physical eyes. He was referring to his spiritual eyes. What can you see? His imagination. That was what Elijah stood on. And imagination is not something airy-fairy. It's something that is based on something. And Elijah's imagination was based on the word of God, that the army that fights for us is greater than the army that fights for the king of Aram. And he just prayed that his eyes, his imagination, would open up to that truth. And Elijah and the servant, they experienced victory that day, which is awesome. We're going to look at some more scriptures referring to our sight. We're going to run through a few of them from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18 says that while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. And we look not, we focus not, we don't behold the things which are seen, but we behold the things which are unseen in our imagination, in the Word of God. We paint that picture for ourselves. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 6 says that, for they that are after the flesh do mind, do consider the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you behold the things of this world, when you are conformed to the things of this world, you are going to struggle to experience the life that God has got for you. You need to be conformed to the image of God, to His Word and His promises, before you can see real victory, lasting victory. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, there's no beating around the bush there. It's like the things of God, it needs to be discerned through your spirit, through your spiritual eyes, not your physical eyes. Then Galatians 5 verse 16, it says, what I say is this, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of the human nature. Or from the King James, it says that, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, very straightforward. Our imagination needs to be developed daily. Like I said, it's a daily thing. Our spiritual eyesight needs to develop daily. It's like any other muscle that you have. Okay, when you want to exercise a muscle, when you want to build a muscle, you need to exercise that muscle. When you stop exercising that muscle, it becomes weak again. Okay, if you stop going to the gym for a year, I know none of you don't do that. You go to the gym regularly, that's good. You need to keep exercising that muscle. The more you do, the stronger it becomes, the stronger it gets, and you can improve, and you can improve. As believers, we need our imaginations to paint such a clear picture of who we are in Christ, our God-birth image, such a clear picture of that, that we are conformed, we are directed by God's Word more than we are directed by the things of this life, the circumstances that this life throws at us. Every day, everything in this world is going to come against God's birth image. Every day, Satan is going to come against that. And if you don't exercise your imagination and plant that in that the Word of God, that seed into our hearts, it's going to get a very, very difficult life for us. And a side note, the church is awesome. Our family is awesome. It's really a great place to come together. And obviously, we don't just do church on Sunday. We've got life groups, and we've got awesome places for you to get connected in and to do life together as a family. Because in those places, you get like-minded. You gather yourself with like-minded people. Get encouraged with the Word of God. These things that we talk about on Sundays. We get together. We feast on the Word. We share, what did you get out of the Word on Sunday? And that's why it's awesome to follow a new version, to make notes. Let the Word of God sink deep into your heart. Let that seed be planted deep in the ground so that it can germinate and produce an awesome harvest. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read from verse 17. Are you still with me? Ephesians 4, verse 17 to 18. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. The word vanity here is referring to not using to its full effect, not using to, according to its purpose. And that's referring to the mind. Walk not in the vanity of their mind. How does that look in verse 18? Having their understanding, again, understanding, same word as imagination. Having their imaginations darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The word heart here is also translated in some translations to thoughts and feelings. Here it's referring to our imagination, our thoughts and our feelings being darkened. And the purpose of our mind was to use our imagination and our thoughts and our hearts in a positive way and not let it get corrupted by the things of this world. But let it have it grounded in the promises of God. Have it focused on the promises of God. Use our mind for that. And Romans chapter 1 verse 21 also talks about the same thing. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Again, vain, became vain in their imaginations. Something that was intended for good, to be a blessing to us, to help us to grow in this life, has become vain. Okay, and a side note here as well, before the imaginations were darkened, it was talking about they didn't glorify God and they weren't thankful either. Glorifying God and being thankful helps us to get our imaginations focused on God's word and His promises. Okay, how is that? Because when you're glorifying God, when you're being thankful, you are focused on His love, His goodness, and His promises. And that directs your imagination and your thoughts to that same thing, which is awesome. So thankfulness and glorifying God is key. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 1. 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandments of us and the apostles, the Lord and Savior. So here Peter's talking about stirring up your pure minds, your pure imaginations, your pure thoughts by way of remembrance, remembering God's goodness, remembering His glory, remembering His promises. Peter's stirring them up in that, reminding themselves that you may be mindful of the words of God today. Being mindful of the Word of God, being focused on the Word of God, that is something that we need to do to see all of that, the manifestations of God in our lives. Now I'm going to look at two examples, and the two examples have something in common, and they are childbirth and harvesting. Now you might be thinking, oh gosh, where's this going? Okay, childbirth and harvesting. Okay, back in probably about 30 years ago, you might have thought that, yeah, childbirth and harvesting, I can see the correlation because some parents had 15 and plus kids. I don't know if there are any of those in here. And so you could have seen, like, yeah, childbirth, harvesting is a lot. But that's not what I'm going to look at here tonight. I'm not going to compare those things. For both of those things to take place, some basic things need to happen. First of all, a seed needs to be planted. Okay, that's very basic. Then conception takes place with that seed. 9 months go by in the womb, or depending on the fruit of or vegetable of seed that you planted, a few weeks or a few days go by before you actually see something come up on top of the soil. Okay, then after those things have taken place, obviously 9 months, the baby is born, and a lot of years actually go by before you see actual fruit produced from that seed was planted. But okay, that's a basic process that takes place. Seed, conception, time, and then a harvest or a birth. Now, for anything in God's word to be birthed in our lives, it needs to be grown in our hearts and our imaginations. It needs to grow there. So just like that, I don't just look at these fun facts just for fun's sake, but there's merit to it. With our imaginations and our heart, it's the same as the ground and the womb. That is our birthplace. That is our growing place for God's seed to be conceived, to germinate, and to grow before we see that manifestation. Our imaginations, our heart. Go with me to Isaiah 23 or 26 verse 3 from the King James. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." The word mind here in the original text is yetzer. It comes from figuratively conception, but also refers to imagination. Whose mind, whose imagination is stayed on thee. Again, taking the word of God, planting that seed, allowing it to grow. That is where it takes place. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Mind, your focus is on the word of God. First Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's word is the incorruptible seed. When you take God's word and plant that in your heart, and you allow that to germinate, allow that to grow, you are going to see an harvest. When you give that time, you are going to see an harvest. You're going to see the fruits of God, the promises of God manifest in your life. But you need to plant that seed. You need to use your imagination, that womb or that ground. You need to use your imagination, your heart, your spiritual eyes and see and have an hope for this. We're going to look at that now. Have an hope, have an expectation, have an anticipation for this word of God to manifest. Hebrews 11 verse 1 to 3, a lot of you know the scripture talking about faith. I'm going to read from the ERV version. It says, faith is what makes real the things we hope for. It is proof of what we cannot see. God was pleased with the people who lived a long time ago because they had faith like this. Faith helps us understand that God created the whole world by His command. This means that the things we see were made by something which cannot be seen. Now we all have faith. Okay? How can I say that? Because we, as a born-again believer, you have been given the measure of faith. Okay? Faith is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That has been given to you. That has been invested to you. Now why don't so many of us see the manifestations, the promise of God manifest in our lives? Because we're not cooperating our faith with the hope. We're not using this hope, which is also referring to this imagination, this anticipation for what was said by God's word to create an expectancy in our hearts for the promises. We're just saying, okay, I've got faith. But are you visualizing these promises of God? Are you using your imagination that has been given to you as a gift to imagine these promises come to pass in your life? Having expectation, having excitement for that. I want to use a practical example, but before I go to example, another thing I want to bring out from verse 3 says, this means that the things we see were made by something that cannot be seen. Before something can manifest in this physical realm, it needs to be conceived in the spirit first. God spoke this earth, the things that we see, it came from being spoken from something that cannot be seen. Same with God's word. When we take that which cannot be seen and we plant it in our hearts, the manifestation comes after that seed has been planted and that conception has taken place. The same as I've got this illustration of an old man back in the day, before electricity and light bulbs and things, it just came on the scene. And he was living in the woods. He was just using lanterns. He was using candles and all of those things. And he came into the big city and they had lamps. And he walked into this hardware store and he saw the lamps illustrated on being on display. It looked beautiful. And he was like, wow, I need this. I can read so much better with these lamps. So he bought himself a lampshade and he bought himself a bulb. And he was on his way home to his cabin and he gets to his bedroom and he opens up his Bible, obviously, because he's a Christian man. And he switches on the flicker, and there's nothing. Okay, there's nothing. And obviously, all of you know, because you're intellectual people, obviously, I'm not so much. I am. It's obvious. There isn't a power source. The lamp and the light is not connected to the power source. Exactly the same way faith and hope works together. Faith is the power source, but we need to have hope where that faith can flow out from. That imagination, that is what we need. Romans 15 verse 4 says from the King James Version, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The word patience is referring to a cheerful, hopeful endurance, continuance of what? The scriptures. And again, that word hope, might have an expectation, have a confidence, anticipation for these things. The patience, it keeps hoping, it keeps standing on the word of God. over a prolonged period. Like, it doesn't change tomorrow or the day after. You have hope today. You have faith today. And you keep hoping. You keep imagining these promises of God coming to manifestation until you see them. When a seed gets planted, when a farmer plants his seeds, he doesn't stop that whole process a week or 2 weeks later. He's like, I can't see any fruit. I'm gonna dig up all of these seeds now. Why do we do that? Why do we reject the word of God when we don't see the results? Keep imagining, keep hoping, keep having an anticipation, because God's word is incorruptible. God's word is incorruptible. It can't be corrupted. When we plant that, we are going to see the fruit of it. Ephesians, and we're coming to a landing now. I can see the landing strip, so don't disembark. Ephesians 3 verse 18 to 20 from the King James Version says, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Again, it's not just, oh, Jesus loves me. It's, oh, Jesus loves me. It's knowing that intimately. Know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Again, it passes mere knowledge. It's not just the intellectual knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. All of His image. Not just 10%, all of the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, or the word think is talking about imagination. Above all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. We need to use our imagination to see the full manifestation of God's word in our lives. And we get to choose this. I don't choose this for you. Your parents don't choose this for you. No one can reject this for you. You've got the choice to choose to focus on the word of God, to imagine it, to start dreaming it, having a hope for it, an expectation. Now, walking in our God-birthed image, like I said, it's a daily decision. First of all, it starts with your understanding that you, as a believer, have been created in the image of God. Identity, authority, blessing and gifts, and purpose. And from there, just grow into it. Keep growing into it. Keep using it. Keep exercising this muscle. Using our imagination and hope in God's word. Seeing with our spiritual eyes what God promises. Allowing that seed to be conceived. Allowing that fruit or that seed to germinate, to grow, until that manifestation comes to pass. God's word is incorruptible. The last verse for this evening is Romans 12 verse 2. Which most of you know, talking about, do not be conformed to this world. Don't just be conformed to this pattern of this world by the image that they want to shape for you. By just looking and focusing on the natural. But be transformed. Again, metamorphosis. Be transformed. Caterpillar to butterfly. Who wants to be a caterpillar rather than a butterfly? I'm pretty sure there's no one here. You want to be a butterfly. Reminds me now of the animation. What is it? Not ants. Bug's Life. That is a great picture of this caterpillar that eventually turned into a beautiful butterfly. And we want to be a butterfly. The sky's is the limit. You don't want to be a caterpillar just on a branch or on the ground. You want to be a butterfly and fly. Guys, just stick with me. You also want to be a butterfly. And for that to take place, you need to see your God-birthed image and walk in that with your imagination. Amen. Thank you, Father, just for your word. And thank you, Dad, just for this exciting journey that we are on with you in life. Thank you for your word that is alive and incorruptible, Dad. Thank you, Father, that by your Holy Spirit, we can just be stirred up. Just start using, if we haven't been, using our imagination for what you've created it to be used for. To see your word. To imagine that. See the promises. With our spiritual eyes, not our natural eyes. So see your promises. Let that seed be sown into our hearts. Father, we can all be expectant of a great harvest. Because your word is truth and it's alive. Thank you, Jesus, that we can go into these weeks and just be super excited. Just start practicing, start exercising our imagination muscle, our hope, so we can mix that with faith together and see the manifestations. Thank you, Father, that you are good. You've chosen to create us in your image, your likeness. We've got your identity. You've got your authority. All of the blessings and gifts that we need to accomplish what we need to accomplish in this life. We've got purpose. That is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Dad. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.